right, welcome back into the Nick Bob Podcast. This is part one of the 2022 Husker football season preview. Bo Rude joins me, and this was a ton of fun. On this pod, we quickly discuss the captains that were announced for the Nebraska football team, and then we go through the schedule, man, game by game, and we make our predictions on each game. And on this pod, again, part one, we're going to go through the first six games on the schedule. So Northwestern in Ireland, then North Dakota, Georgia Southern, Oklahoma, Indiana, and at Rutgers. All on deck here in part one. So let's get to it. Here's part one of the 2022 Husker football season preview. Enjoy. Oh, it just feels so good. This feels great. This feels good. It feels good. It is here. We are taping this. It is Monday, August 22nd in 5 days? 5 days, pretty much? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Yep.
It is here. It is finally here.
The long wait is over.
Could you kind of feel it? Like I've always said, there's a feeling in the air on, for sure, Saturday mornings of a Husker game day. But even like when I got out of bed this week, like the fact that it's game week, I had a little pep to my step.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this weekend. I couldn't, like, it's hard to imagine, like, it's game week. It's
right
here. But, yeah, I mean, I always say, like, there's a smell of grass or something.
Yeah.
Late July, August, that you smell when you're walking around outside. You go, oh, it's football season.
Yes.
It's beginning camp, all that. But it is so weird that it's like, this is game week. It's a week early. We've never had this.
Right. I know. It's exciting, though. But
and kind of just on that point, like, we've kind of poo-pooed this just because, you know, we haven't won and all we care about is like, can we win one game? But the reality is, like, the whole country's going to be watching Nebraska.
Right, they're going to be a lot of eyeballs.
I mean, this is the start of football season.
Right,
we get the show.
I want to say the other, Illinois and Wyoming play this week, too. So Illinois is playing. But Nebraska, you have a Big Ten conference game.
Yeah.
Going down. There's going to be a lot of people watching this game. A
lot of eyeballs. It's the Ireland thing. I mean, it's 11, I think it's 11:30.
11:30, baby.
So, I mean, trust me, there's a lot of people itching for college football.
Yes.
I'm pumped.
So, official prediction.
Let's get ahead of ourselves. God dang it.
So, this is official season prediction. We're going to go game by game. We're going to pick every game, obviously, into the final record.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get started, the captains were announced. I just want to like bounce two or three things off you real quick.
Okay.
So, captains announced. The Ultimate Warrior, Garrett Nelson.
That was a given.
Yes. Nick Henrich, Mr. Omaha Burke, Barrett Rood's guy.
Yeah, a little surprising.
Because
he's younger. He's a younger guy. But he's graduated.
Yeah, 3 years. What's with these people graduating in three?
These guys go to class.
Your boy was, yeah.
Hey, they weren't taking some of the classes we were taking.
I took a class at Kansas called, it truly was called Life Skills. My first summer at Kansas. And I'm not lying when I tell you one of the questions on the test was, before a test, it was multiple choice. You should, and it was like, A, study. B, go to a party. C, like, I swear, like Kansas, I think fudged some things, and they're like, "We need to like make it."
We need an A for a lot of guys to get it rolling. Collective GPA needs to go up,
rise it up.
Let's make a new class.
That's what needs to happen here. But yeah, these dudes are. But what's weird though was, I remember asking Barrett about Henrich, and Barrett raved about him. Like, was basically said he's like, I don't want to say he has a favorite, but he was like, he's the best.
He's the character. He's the team guy. Like, he is the guy that you put on any team in the country, and your team gets better
because
he's a football guy, right? So he loves football. He plays hard. He studies. He knows the game, and he loves being out there. So like, they always call it, these are like people are infectious, right? His energy, his enthusiasm. Like, you can't be on his team and not be like, okay, this is, we all have to play a little harder and
work,
because he's this into it.
Right? Yeah, because there's a lot of different ways to be a captain. You can be the vocal guy. You can be just really good. You can be a lead by example guy. You can be just a guy that people rally around.
Yeah.
You know, because Barrett made it sound like, Barrett's line to me was, he goes, I don't even have to yell at him.
No.
He goes, if he makes a mistake,
he knows.
He knows. And Barrett's just like, Barrett almost, he was like, I almost just go, like, wow, really?
Yeah.
And Henry's like, God, God. Like, he knows. But why, you were a captain. Why do you think you, what do you think it was about you?
I think that's it. For me, it's just...
Don't be humble for a second. Like, what do you, because I played with him my whole life, so I would know what it would be, probably. Like, you...
I think...
Because you're... I would say you're more of a lead by example guy than you're never going to get in front of the team and being like, we got four quarters for the rest of our lives to tell you're not one of those guys
at all. I'm not Mr. Speech, but...
But you are...
I'm Mr. Prepared.
I'll you're prepared, always prepared. Yeah. You're very dependable. Everyone can count on you. Yes. You're an everyday guy. You also are likable. Like, I think there's a... Guys, I would have to imagine everybody on the team... It's not necessarily a popularity contest, because there's a difference between being popular and being popular and a leader. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
You're a popular leader.
Yes, you can't be popular goof off.
Yes.
That doesn't usually work with...
Because you're not that.
Not within the context of a team, but like, you know, but like you're always a guy that kept it really light, but you were always a captain too, because you were always very, very... Like, serious about the game, too.
Yes.
Like, I think you can be both, like, a guy that gets along with people and has fun, but, like, when it comes to the game, you're serious.
Yes.
And I think that's the mechanism that I always go, like, you can be goofy around the team, but you can't be goofy and then not serious about practice and preparation.
Yes.
And you can be really good. I just don't think you got to be serious about the game.
Yes.
And so I think that's probably where me and you are both
very similar in that. Like, we balanced each other well.
We're going to have fun.
Because I would give a speech. I was that guy that would maybe stand up for football. Basketball, I didn't give speeches. Football more lends itself to basketball doesn't really lend itself to player speeches.
No.
Football's more
football,
prone
there's
to that.
A lot of like
moments where everybody's like catch a knee, and
I mean, it's why before games everybody's praying, like you're nervous that you're gonna get hurt. Like, there's a lot of fear in football. It takes a lot of courage, and in those moments, like, that's where the people that I think step up to try to like inspire others.
Isn't that funny?
Okay. Yeah, it's like a courage thing.
Football is the only sport. I shouldn't say the only sport. Maybe it is where like speeches matter. Like, I don't think baseball. Like, I can't think like Joe Torre was like, "All right, guys, turn two, huh? What are we gonna do out there?" Like, I don't know what you would even.
I think
basketball. You know, Coach Self would have a little something something, but like football's more
because there's only a few games, and like I said, you're putting your body on the line.
Yes.
It's like you might be going against it's like today you're going to go against Jonathan Ogden. And you're like, damn it. Like, and so you need Nick Bock. And you're like, guys, it doesn't matter if it's Ogden or if it's a little mouse. You got to play hard. You know, like, you want to be like, but you're going to get smashed.
You're going to get killed, aren't you?
That's the idea. It's like you might get smashed.
Yes.
But you got to be willing to go do it.
And I got to assume Henrich isn't that guy for the captains. I bet Garrett Nelson is.
I bet you Nelson's. He's vocal. I bet he's
yes.
Vocal.
I think the most exciting guy to be named captain is Caleb Tanner. Like, that's exciting to me. Yeah. That bodes well for the season to me.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, I mean, he was almost a write-off.
Like,
because
yes.
he was their number one get for recruits. Him and Adrian Martinez coming out of 2018. It was Caleb Tanner and Martinez. It's like, look at the guys we just got. And then Tanner just sort of became a guy that was like a non-factor.
Frost even said it real quick. Frost said it at the press conference yesterday. He was like, if you could have seen where Caleb was when he got here and even a couple years ago, like, he was that guy that I think was missing class, not doing the right thing. Now he's a captain.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge turn. And I think it's only positive for the outlook of this team that, like, you got Mathis and Nelson. And Tanner is a captain now, which tells you, like, he'll be on the field and... You know, I think when you take on that responsibility, like, you are all in. That means you should, like, it tells me where he is more than anything. It's like, I know we got one more guy that's a player now.
I love it.
That will come in and do what he needs to do.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting... has taken on a new meaning now, because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious, all-white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. Two-year-old Mac, six-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better. And then we got the, you want Captain Volkolek? I will lead your, my fellow comrades, I lead you to Dublin and we take victory and come back to America.
I would be honored to be captain. Very big honor.
I have created such a ridiculous character that I don't even know what he's actually like.
I've never heard him talk.
I haven't either.
They probably don't let him talk. Let's just assume he does sound like
Steve Sipple. I read your article. I don't understand.
I crush you, Sip. I will crush you like little bug.
You recommend Denny's, and I didn't like it. Why you do that to Volkolek?
No vodka at Denny's.
No vodka at Denny's. I didn't like it. But I just all the captains are exciting. It's three on defense, one on offense.
Yep.
Makes sense given the continuity on that side of the ball and the newness on the other side of the ball. That makes sense to me. I don't think you can...
We got the hired gun. The offense has hired guns right now.
Right.
So I think that makes sense.
Anything with the fact that it's not Casey? It's hard when you come in.
It's hard. Sometimes you get, the transfer quarterback gets named captain, but... like I say, I think these are guys that are hired guns. They're still finding their feet in the team. You know, I think he was probably clearly going to be the quarterback, but he's been named starter for like 4 days.
He just got here. It's hard. All those other guys have been here.
Yeah, I think his leadership will come like when the game starts, and if he's got the goods and he starts winning ball games. People will follow him.
Yeah, I don't want to make sure people know. I don't think it's like code red. He's not a captain. No. I don't think that at all. But I just think you oftentimes think your quarterback is a captain. But like Tommy Armstrong wasn't a captain. Was it Kirk Cousins? Not Kirk Cousins. There was some Michigan State quarterback that wasn't a captain.
What's his name? He was the guy after Cousins.
What was his name?
I know it.
I'm talking about. Yeah. You know him.
He was like 2015.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big...
God, that's going to drive me crazy.
Because he was a senior that year, I think,
yes.
too.
So it was kind of like, he's not a captain? Like, yeah. really? God, you know? I know that's going to drive me crazy. It makes sense given the landscape of the team, given the fact that you have a ton of transfers, you have, especially on the offensive side of the ball, as we both buy time to try to look up who the quarterback was... The quarterback in that... Connor Cook. There we go. Connor, I beat you to it. That's it for me. That's it for the podcast.
Dang it.
Connor Cook wasn't a captain. So, no, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's hard when you just come in.
That's a good sign that they didn't have to do that.
No.
In my mind, the fact that we had four other guys that people like, we got... That means we have more leaders than I would have thought.
Totally. Okay, we ready to do it?
We're ready.
2022, year 5, Scott Frost, Husker season prediction begins now. Game 1, Northwestern, this Saturday in Dublin, Ireland. Quick little synopsis. We all remember last year's game. It was an ass kicking, 56-7. Northwestern had a really bad year. They were 3-9. They lost their last 6 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this game, though, it kind of seems like Pat Fitzgerald is kind of known for bounce back seasons, which makes me a little nervous. Like he's had like some major dips and then some really good years. So if there's a coach that could have a shitty year and then follow it up with a good year, it's probably Fitz. But to me, this game is mainly about Nebraska. Like,
yeah.
Game 1, 5 new coaches, brand new offense, brand new play caller, a bunch of transfers. All new specialists, by the way. You know, like Northwestern last year was really bad against the run. 119th rush defense in the country. They were even worse on offense. They were the 125th scoring offense in the country. At they averaged 16 points per game. Think about that. 16 points per game.
That's really bad. Northwestern, yeah, they're kind of a unique school in the sense of like they are like a – it's a very, you know, top-end like academic yes. school. So I think that hurts them, you know, to consistently be, you know, on the cutting edge of recruiting and getting the best talent just because it's like you got to have smart dudes to get in.
Yes.
Right? So they typically are, like you said, they'll go – you know, down year or two, then an up year or two. And usually it depends on, you know, getting the right group of guys then that get to be in the program for a few years.
Get a little continuity going.
Yeah. So I think 2 years ago, the 2020 season, people were like blown away. Like, oh, Northwestern just came out and stole the West.
Right.
But they had, I think, 2 4-year starters at linebacker. They had a couple, I think, a tackle and a corner that were really good NFL guys. You know, like they had like, some really good pieces, but just veteran dudes, right?
Right.
And I think that's the that's when Fitzgerald's at his best. That's what he has, especially when the defense is stingy. And that defense was like one of the stingiest in the
yes.
country. I saw some stat where they have like this some you know defensive stat essentially saying like how many like points does your defense like extra points prevented right. or something, and they were like first in the country that year, and then the next year they were way worse. So yeah, like for Northwestern this year though, the question is like how much more experience do they have from last year? Obviously more, but like are they going to be trending towards a 2020 year? And I would say like I don't have as good enough feel, but I don't get the sense
I don't
that,
either
that Northwestern feels that way.
Well, so real quick, just like just so. Here's last year, 3-9. Year before, 7-2 is that abbreviated COVID season.
Yeah.
But 7-2, like you said, went to the Big Ten title game. Year before that, 3-9. Year before that, 9-5. Year before that, 10-3. Year before that, 7 wins, then 10 wins, then 5 wins, then 5 wins. Like it's a little bit of a roller coaster. And you know, you bring up the whole fact that this game or that Northwestern, it doesn't feel like they're trending towards now. They're on the uptick of that yeah. roller coaster. And I think the spread indicates that. I can't believe the spread. Now,
what is it 10 or is it 13?
It's 13.
13.
Right now,
right
it is 13. That seems crazy to me.
It seems crazy. But so the way I feel about this game, right, and we'll get to this in a little bit, like that gives me more confidence that
yeah.
the people who bet their money on it are giving us that many points.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think we are still living in the world of scar tissue from last year's opening game against Illinois. Like, that's how that is stuck in our thought process right now, where the people betting money on it are saying, give them 13.
Well, and to me, that strikes me as... It almost strikes me as a line that Vegas is begging you to bet Northwestern.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
such a big line, and people yeah. are like, 13 points?
Yeah. Come
on. You know, where so they must feel confident in Nebraska on a variety of levels. Do you – I have two things with this. You bring up the Illinois game because it's amazing how similar the Illinois game is from last year and this Northwestern game is in terms of, like, the importance – that yeah. it feels like it's going to shape the season. But do we feel that way? Because I remember last year, you could argue that the way that game went at Illinois did shape the year.
Yeah.
But I remember coming on and you and I were a little surprised at the rhetoric and the narratives coming out of that Illinois game where it felt like people literally were, it was a eulogy yeah. on the season. I remember yeah. Dirk Chatelain basically wrote a eulogy column on the Frost era.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, and I guess yeah. to me, I look at then how the season played out, and Nebraska had numerous opportunities to Undertaker, you know, rise from the dead and
Michigan
change.
State, Michigan, we would have been on it.
Or even Oklahoma.
Today. Yeah. We had opportunities, but something about that game.
Do you think it's a, like, so how much, let me land the plane here, like how much is riding on this game? Do you subscribe to the school of thought, as a lot of people do? Like, if Nebraska goes and loses this game, it is a disaster. Why do I not feel?
You're right in not because it's a long, like, I mean, really, like, the idea is, like, you can lose your first four and win. Like, it doesn't matter how you get to the wins you get. I think we all, here's where the problem is we've yet to get three wins in a row
which
in
is
the
amazing.
Frost era.
Yeah.
And this would be the one, and then we'd have 2-3 going into Oklahoma, and then you're playing house money. Like, when you lay out the season, it doesn't work right if you don't win this game.
Right.
And to me, the thing we've never had is momentum with wins. Like, we've got the thing going where we're feeling good about ourselves. We've got confidence. Like, we've been battling this, like, we're losers and we need to find a way to win. Like, if you can get three wins, you don't feel like a loser so much.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing our team has never gotten over is just the psychological, okay, we're on a winning streak.
Right.
And that is, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can win however, you know, it doesn't matter who you beat to get your wins in the end. But, like, to me, it's like, you want to see the best path to, like, you know, like, it builds the momentum the best by doing
it. I agree. I totally agree with that. And it's just, it's hard because on one hand, I agree with all that. And I do kind of vibe with everybody when they say, like, this game is huge. It's enormous for confidence from the fan base, vibe and climate around the program, confidence even within the locker room. I get all of that. The thing that's hard and why I think this game is a little different than last year's game. Last year's game, you had a ton of continuity on defense, all coming back. You had a ton of continuity on offense, all coming back. You were going to have a four-year starting quarterback. There was kind of no reason to be shitty in Champaign like they were last year.
Yeah, for the first game. Yeah.
To me, in all reality, if Nebraska goes out and is kind of clunky in like the first half, it's like, okay, five new coaches.
I kind of think so. It's like all new players.
Yeah, like you kind of go, okay, brand new offense. Could be, you know, there's so much new. Do you get what I'm saying? Where it's like,
yeah.
it's this loss is more understandable than the Illinois loss.
Last year's loss was so atrocious the way it happened.
Yes,
too.
Like, especially Brett Bielema, first year head coach too for Illinois.
Because last year it was penalties. It was Cam Taylor-Britt fumble on the two.
Right.
Can't catch a punt. And then Martinez coughing it up with a minute to go in the first half for a scoop score.
Six.
That is what was. And then, you know, it felt like we couldn't recruit after that game. Like the fans think like, so this is it's a different game, different scenario. So you'd think it's different. My issue is this. My issue is that, like I said, it lends to the momentum.
Oh, yeah.
It also, like, there's a lot of eyes on this game. If Nebraska looks good. Nick, what do you think that does for recruiting and our national like things that kind
of
matter
right now? You know, a lot of those national writers that love every opportunity, the Pat Fortys of the world, all that stuff.
God.
They're going to be watching that game, and they are going to have
Pat Fortys
shotgun.
He's got it written already. He's got it written.
He is Bradley Cooper, American Sniper. He's got Frost in the scope, and he's just like, lose a game, pulling the trigger. That's pretty much what he is.
Pat Ford's got a disciplined mouth. He's like, they call me the legend. And he's ready to shoot.
Here we go.
He loses this game.
Like, he's ready to just
He's got Scott
him.
Frost. Like, that's the only target he's ever shot for target practice. It's just, he can shoot right through Frost's eyeballs.
All those dudes are ready to just, Dan Wolken, Pat Forty, all those guys ready to eviscerate Frost.
Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard, kick him out of the conference.
God.
A part of me is kind of playing devil's advocate. Like, at the end of the day, I do think this game is enormous.
But it's enormous. But the reality is you can win later, too.
I guess that's where it's hard, where it's like, I know it's enormous, but at the same time, I watched last year, and I watched 2 to 3 opportunities in the next 5 games where the season could have kind of gotten changed and it just didn't happen. And you could say, well, that all goes back to the Illinois game. Whatever. I don't know. This is almost the bizarro, the complete antithesis of the Oklahoma game, where it's like you talk about an Oklahoma game is going to be house money to play with. This game is the opposite in that, like, if Nebraska goes and plays well, I don't think people are necessarily going to be there's a ton to gain from. It's more. There's more to lose in this game than there is to gain. Does that make sense?
And that's the trap, though. When you feel like that, you can play tight.
Yes.
And we're dealing with the sort of, like, the thing hanging over everybody's head too a little bit is, like, all right, we're going to kind of recheck Scott Frost in October, see how he's doing. Like,
right.
If he wins this game, I think he keeps his job no matter what. I mean, because he's going to win three then.
Right.
I just don't see a scenario if he wins that first game that he's not coaching throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But if he loses it, then you got the boo birds are coming out. The people that are going to write those articles,
oh, yeah,
they'll be written.
Yes.
And it puts pressure on Trev, and it puts pressure on, you know, everybody that, like, okay, we're playing tight again, you know, like every game is, you know, like,
yes.
Versus if you win and you get three wins to start the year, it's like, I think everybody goes, okay, let's just go for it now.
I totally agree. So I was kind of just playing devil's advocate there. There was parts of my argument I agreed with. There are parts that I don't agree with it. But it's
so stupid to think the season's over if you lose the first. That's a dumb thought.
It's even just like there's 11 more games.
Yeah, even though I'm thinking that.
I know.
It's not true, but like,
But at the same time, yeah, it's really, really important.
It's a dumb thought, but I kind of think we're all thinking it.
I loved, before we get to our official prediction for it, I loved Whipple's line in a press conference. Like, he met with the media probably 2 to 3 weeks ago. And his line, he goes, what I've been talking to the quarterbacks about is that first games of the season, first games are lost more than they are won.
Yeah.
And it's kind of true.
That's last year. That is last year, yes, through and through.
Yes. If you think, I think the Colorado game in year one was kind of more lost than Colorado won it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So to me, this is one of those games where I think if and it's challenging because it's a bunch of new, but if Nebraska goes and is just solid this weekend, they're just no catastrophic, where you have a safety with Cam Taylor-Britt last year, you have a fumble that's a score for a touch, you know, like those are catastrophic plays,
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
You don't have any of those, they're going to be okay. So my official prediction, Nebraska's going to beat Northwestern. I guess I didn't write down, did you write down a score? I didn't write down a score.
No. I
the total was 49. I think this is going to be a low scoring. I don't envision, you know, Northwestern games are always like, we like our games 9-5. You know, like,
we don't even bring people to score. We only bring kickers.
Our scoreboard until 1997 only got one digit on it. That's it.
Actually, the way we've programmed our board, it only goes up by three. So you really, if your score doesn't matter, it's going up three. Field goals, field goals, field goals.
I don't have a score prediction, but I got Nebraska beating Northwestern.
I got Nebraska for the win. I don't even want to. I mean,
oh God!
If you had predict the score for that game, I'm
out of the room.
Just so, yeah.
Don't you dare. Okay, game number two, North Dakota, home opener, baby. North Dakota was 5-6 last year. They're an FCS team, so they're in the same conference as like Indiana State and Western Illinois. There could be some, maybe a little bit of a worry of like an Ireland hangover, you know, traveling back, depending on how that game goes. But we don't need to spend a lot of time in this game. First home game, crowd should be good. Nebraska is going to win the game.
Yeah,
that you want to add to that?
No, I don't know anything about North Dakota other than that they're up north.
North Dakota?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're playing FCS, you should never even have to think about it.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
Okay, so. Game three. Georgia Southern. Little info. You want a little info on Georgia Southern?
I would.
Georgia Southern, Sun Belt Conference. They went 3-9 last year. They fired their head coach. They hired Clay Helton.
I remember that, yeah.
They're making a big shift offensively. They were kind of a traditional option team to try to be more balanced. They brought in Kyle Van Treese as a transfer quarterback. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he was the starting quarterback for Buffalo last year. So, and Buffalo's pretty good. Van Treese got a little experience under his belt, but that team sucked last year. They were 115th in scoring offense, 101st in scoring defense, 110th in total defense. They gave up 442 yards a game on defense.
I actually like that they are changing offenses and not changing to like a now it's an easier preparation to not have to practice against an option team.
Totally agree.
So I mean obviously I'll take us for the win, but these games, you know, teams like Georgia Southern who sometimes will show up with like some athletes and like,
well, like Troy and
Troy. I mean, they beat
that was more Andrew Bunch. That was the Andrew Bunch experience.
It was bad.
Bunch
was
of crunch.
But yeah, I think that's plays to our favor. New coaches, new system. We should have an easy win there.
Win?
Yeah.
3-0.
Yep.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. September 17th, 2022. Big Noon Kickoff is going to be in the building.
Don't make me predict this one right now. Because you know what I'm going to say. You know what?
Big Noon Kickoff is going to be in the building. Is going to be my guy, Rob Stone, who I've worked with at Fox. Amazing human being. It's going to be Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Urban Meyer there doing studio. On the call is going to be Gus Johnson. Ha ha!
You're
Joel
serious?
Klatt.
Oh, man.
All on the call. Preseason top 10 ranked team in Oklahoma. Oklahoma's going to be in the top 10 when they come to town because they play two cream puffs to start the year. UTEP and Kent State to start the year. Biggest rival, obviously, for Nebraska is the Sooners. Sooners back in Lincoln for the first time since 2010. Last time these two teams played, it was in the Big 12 championship game. Lots of changes for Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley out, Brent Venables in. They lost both their stud quarterbacks, Oklahoma did, to the transfer portal. Plus, Oklahoma has endured a big roster transformation. 19 is the number of scholarship newcomers. 10 freshmen, 9 transfers. Reading up on them, they're all expected to contribute. Now, that sounds a lot like Nebraska, but I'm just bringing that up to point out Oklahoma. Do you just want to go for it?
I need you to say.
You want me to keep going?
Struggling.
You want me to go?
I want you to tell me what you
think.
Well,
here's the problem is I think right now we're at a 7th grade dance. You're nervous to get out on the floor and actually dance with a girl. I'll go out there. I think Nebraska's going to win this game.
Oh, my God. You're going to do it to me.
Oh, I think they're going to do it. And I honestly...
That's what I think,
I honestly don't even feel terrible about it.
I mean, we're such homers, though. Everything points to we shouldn't win that game,
but
right?
Hold on.
Everything points to it.
It does. But at the same time, Nebraska literally crapped its pants, peed its pants, threw up on itself for large chunks of that game in Norman, Oklahoma last year. And could have, and in some people's estimation, should have beaten Oklahoma. And I think Oklahoma's team last year is better than its team this year. Let me give you some other reasons why I think Nebraska's going to win this game. This is Brent Venables' first time as a head coach. Mm-hmm. He's the move from coordinator to head coach is the Grand Canyon. Yeah. There's some guys a la Pelini that make that transition and hit the ground smoothly. Other guys kind of don't. This is going to be his first legitimate real big game as a head coach. And it's on the road. You're not going to get tested against UTEP and Kent State. Memorial Stadium, I get chills thinking about it. Memorial Stadium is going to be on fire.
If we beat Northwestern.
Game. Yes. But even if they lose to Northwestern, they're still it's Oklahoma.
It's still Oklahoma.
It's still Oklahoma. But you know, you're going to get the guys come out there like, hey,
the guys from like that
are Billy Sims to running back. You're like,
you
no.
can be the 110-year-olds would be like, I got 6 days left on this earth. I can't walk, but I will be in the stadium.
I'm hung on just for this game, like, right here.
They'll put people in on
old
on
switch.
Medical
it got
beds.
Them ready to go. You're like, no. No, Bert, they don't.
That young punk Switzer. I hate his arrogance.
Switzer thinks he's so damn cool, and he's not that cool. Tom Osborne, now that's a cool cat right there.
Those young punks.
Rick Burns is going to run all over those
Rick
cats.
Rick Burns was tough.
Oh, Rick Burns was tough to the mud. Jim Pillen going to recover another fumble.
And run for governor. That kid can be governor someday.
Mr. Nixon is going to be the governor and recover a fumble.
That young man is a class act. He could be governor someday. It's like Mayor Goldie Wilson. Yeah, like, Mayor. Mayor Jim Pillen. Mayor. I could be mayor someday.
Okay. Anyways, Memorial Stadium will be on fire for the game. Big spot for Venables. The other thing, the quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, Central Florida transfer. Yep. Very talented player. But it's an interesting moment for him.
New system.
New system.
New coaches.
New coaches. He's coming out. He broke his collarbone in the second or third game of last year. So he's coming off a broken collarbone. And in his entire career at Central Florida, he's only played against four power conference teams: Georgia Tech, Stanford, Louisville, and Pitt. He's 2-2 in those games. Coming off a broken collarbone, only faced four power five teams. Brent Venables, first big game, first time head coach. I don't think Gabriel or Venables in their current roles have been in an environment like this. And so, Nick,
those are actually good. Those are like great arguments for. I would say here's the. My gut says yes. Like, I think we can win this, right? But if I'm looking at only facts, every top 10 team that's come into us or we've gone and played that is, you know, on the national stage with the people coming to the NL, we've just done bad for 20 years. Like, for 20 years, it's been, that's our death warrant. But, like, I still, like, I just can't go against us. I can't do it.
So you're picking.
I'm going to pick us. I'm going to go illogical. It's illogical why I believe it. Your points are good, but still, like, all signs point to you probably shouldn't make that pick.
I mean, they're going
to
be a preseason top 10 team. Yeah. That Nebraska is going to be an underdog. Like you said, like, 99% of people are going to pick Oklahoma to win that game. But to me, it's just not as, if you talk it out, it's not as crazy as it sounds to me.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm saying Nebraska wins the game. And so I have Nebraska starting 4-0 and Frost gets his first signature win. That's one thing that's crazy is Frost doesn't have, like, what's his best win? Penn State in a COVID year?
Yeah,
he doesn't have a single. It's a lot of South Alabamas and Buffaloes and
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's hard to make the pick for. But I just can't. In this circumstance where Oklahoma's at, they seem ripe for the picking.
That's what I think.
Even though we've done so bad for 20 years on this kind of game.
Other fun fact, real quick. Casey Thompson lit Oklahoma. Now, it's different. It's going to be a different system. Casey Thompson lost to Oklahoma last year, but Casey Thompson threw for like 5 touchdowns and was awesome.
His dad's a Sooner. He's going to be – this is the game for him. Like, this is the game that he was born to rise to the game.
I just feel like Casey Thompson, when he gets under center and sees that maroon Sooner looking at him, he's seen it.
He knows it.
Like, he's not – there's not going to be like, fuck. This is Oklahoma. There's not going to be that element of like, woo.
He's not scared of Oklahoma because he's played him and he's done well. And he's not scared, but the importance will be on him.
Yes.
It'll be so important to him to take it. I mean, this will be his Super Bowl of his life.
Yeah, I think Casey plays well. But I think, I honestly think a bigger part of why I'm picking Nebraska to win the game is more about Oklahoma maybe not
being ready.
Not totally being what they've been.
But Oklahoma, the one thing, no matter new system, new coaches, they got talent.
They got freaky.
They got lots
dudes.
Of dudes that are really good.
Yes.
And that's always, you know, if Look things go well for them, it's tough anyway.
Okay, so both of us have. I mean, at this point, all the people that are like, wow, these guys very
the homers,
objective.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But just wait. Okay. Game number 5. Nebraska has a bye week. Then Indiana at home. Little bit on the Hoosiers. 2 years ago, 6-2, played in the Outback Bowl. Indiana was a disaster last year. 2-10. Their only two wins were against Idaho and Western Kentucky. They finished the season losing 8 in a row. In conference games, here was Indiana's points scored last year. This is in conference games. 6-0, 15-7, 35-7, 3-14-7. 123rd in scoring offense, 124th in total offense. They were turnover fest galore. They finished almost dead last in turnover margin in all of college football. Now, they fired their offensive coordinator. They have a new one. But the Hoosiers have issues. Something to keep in mind that's always, like, Indiana plays at Cincinnati the week before they come to Lincoln. You kind of never know, though. Like, maybe they go and upset Cincinnati and they're feeling good about themselves. Maybe Cincinnati, you know.
But they're also going to
Debo's them.
They're going to spend a lot of time and effort on Cincinnati.
That's true. So, just something to always think about what's going on. Nebraska coming off a bye. Indiana playing Cincinnati. Prediction, I got Nebraska winning the game.
So my hunch is that we're going to give Nebraska the Oklahoma, which I my gut says just do it. Even if I'm a little bit of a homer, just do it. But I feel a letdown following that. But I also don't – I want to give it to the Indiana. I'm not going to do it because it's following – we got a bye week following it, and Indiana's got issues, and we're at home. So I'm going to actually give them the win here. But just – I mean, I don't want to give away my next answer.
Then let's get to it because it sounds like you and I are on the same page. Game number 6 at Rutgers. Rutgers won 5 games last year, didn't have any major notable wins. Vedral is back at quarterback, but – reading some stuff, they have another quarterback, Gavin Wimsett, that made some buzz in the spring. Greg Schiano made a lot of changes on defense. They have a new defensive coordinator, new linebackers coach, new D-line coach, new cornerbacks coach, and new safeties coach. Tons of change. There isn't anything with this Rutgers team that on paper spooks you other than Aaron Cruikshank. They have a great return man. Yeah, he housed one a couple of years ago.
He was playing for Wisconsin, I believe.
Is that right?
I thought, right? So
maybe that's right.
Wasn't he Wisconsin and Rutgers, maybe. I thought.
I know he housed one against Nebraska in the COVID year.
Yeah, I thought it was, because no, he was COVID, then he went to Wisconsin.
Is that what he did?
And then he housed it again.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're with me. This game feels like a loss. It is Friday night, short week. First true road game, by the way.
And Schiano is a good coach.
Literally, it's like we are too much of the same human being.
We are. But
I think you're thinking along the same line of like, if I'm going to give us Oklahoma, there's got to be a game where you go, I didn't expect that necessarily.
Yes.
And to me, most seasons have that kind of clunker game you didn't necessarily circle on the schedule where you got there and you...
Middle of the year, you're flat. You just get flat 1 week.
Short week, first road game. Schiano's teams are... Like, he's a pretty tough coach. I think Nebraska loses this game.
I'd agree with that one. I think that's... I needed a letdown, and I didn't feel good giving it to the Indiana.
I just don't...
Being at home. After a bye week, we should be fresh enough to win that game.
I cannot believe, boy, this we're a riveting duo here. We have the exact same record.
Things will change.
All right, here we go. All right, that's it for part one. Make sure you go check out part two of the 2022 Husker football season preview. Part two, we predict the last 6 games on the schedule and then get in some other things as well. Really fun stuff. So thanks for listening to part one. Now make sure you go check out part two of the 2022 Husker football season preview podcast.
A Huda Media Production.